All right, let's take our Bibles and turn, first of all, to Acts 17, and we're going to read this passage of Scripture. It's the one that we've sort of led this series off with, but our main Scripture is going to be Daniel chapter number 4. So if you want to go to Daniel chapter number 4. And this topic that I have been preaching is truths that I have found in the Scriptures that have helped me in my Christian walk. And you know that it says in Acts 17 in verse number 11, it's talking about those in Berea, and again we've read it often, and it says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. And so if we searched the Scriptures, what would we find? What would you find concerning God if you searched the Scriptures? And this is the important thing. When we come to church, we want to remember this is really not about us, this is about Him. The assembling together with believers is how God designed for Him to be glorified. The Bible says, unto Him be glory in a church. There's people who want to say, well, I can worship God anywhere I want to. Well, that may be the case, but His design is for you to assemble together with other believers and worship Him. So as we assemble together and we worship Him, we want to remember our focal point today is not me. My focal point is Him. Everything that we do inside this assembly should be to glorify God. It should be when we're singing, we're singing praises to His name. When we give of the offering, we're returning to Him and because of what He has given to us. And when we pray, we're making our requests known to the sovereign God who can meet those requests. And so we're worshiping Him through prayer. When we speak the Word of God, we're telling you about Him so you know how to worship Him more completely, more fully, and maybe even appropriately. So that our assembling together is about God. And where do we find that? Well, we find how to do that in the Word of God. So you search the Scriptures, the Word of God. And the Bereans searched the Scriptures. They received the Word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily to see if the things that Paul told them were so. And so if we search the Scriptures, what would we find out about God? As I grew in Christ, I gained this knowledge of God. I grew in my understanding of God. I began to understand who God really is. And the truth that I found out is that God is sovereign. Now, you may not know what that word actually means, and we'll talk about that. We've been talking about the sovereignty of God a little bit in our men's Sunday school class. But think about the world in which we live today. Think about what's going on. Who does it seem like is in control of what's going on in this world today? Are wicked men gaining a grip on the control of this world? Is this world controlled by the wickedness of man? Or has God given them over to a reprobate mind? Is God just allowing them to go and follow their own plans and to show just who they are? Is Satan gaining an upper hand in this world? Or is God allowing this world to display its rejection of and rebellion against Him? What are your thoughts? Is God in control today? Is God truly sovereign over this world? Is God truly sovereign over your life? That's what we're going to look at today, and that's what we're going to try to teach about today, and hopefully build your faith as you learn about the sovereignty of God. Today I want to talk about that truth, the truth of the sovereignty of God. So the sovereignty of God, and I forgot my clicker, so I'm going to have to come down and click the PowerPoint every time. Simply defined, what is the sovereignty of God? The sovereignty of God is defined as God's absolute right to do all things according to His own good pleasure. That's according to Easton's Bible Dictionary. God's absolute right to do all things according to His own good pleasure. God does what He wants, when He wants, how he wants and why he wants. He doesn't ask men for their opinion. He doesn't have to get a consensus with other people. God is God, and he does what he wants to do. According to A.W. Pink, what is the sovereignty of God? It is the supremacy of God, the kingship of God, the godhood of God, to declare that God is God. And we're talking about the God Jehovah, the God of the children of Israel. There are many things that are called gods today. People will say today that the God of Islam is the same God as the God of the Bible, and that is not true. They are two different. The God of the Bible is Jehovah, and the God of Islam is Allah. They are not the same. They have two totally different thoughts. So don't ever be tricked into believing that the God of Islam is the same God of the Bible, because they are not. And we're not dwelling on that very much today. But we do want to define who we are talking about, and it is the Lord God Jehovah. Okay? The one who created all things. The best place for me to define the sovereignty of God, and the place that the sovereignty of God really came to me, an understanding of it, was found in the book of Daniel, chapter number 4, and verse number 35. Here is a simple definition of the sovereignty of God and what it means for God to be sovereign. Daniel 4:35 says, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou?" So God created this world. He is in control of this world. He does as he pleases, and man's actions or man's will has no effect on God's sovereignty. Man's will or man's actions has no effect on God's sovereignty, God's control, God's plan for this world. Now, we could get into, and I could teach you a college level class on the sovereignty of God. And we could go into this very deeply and talk about the sovereignty of God, but that's not my purpose. There have been volumes written on the sovereignty of God. And we could spend weeks and months and maybe years talking about the sovereignty of God and learning about the sovereignty of God. I'm not going to take all that time. I have simply defined it for you. And we're going to move on. So let's look at some things. We want to understand this, that men question God's sovereignty today. But the fact of the matter is, if men question God's sovereignty, it doesn't matter. God is still sovereign. Think about this. There are people who would say, if God's really God, why don't he strike me down with lightning right now? They're questioning God's sovereignty. God chooses not to strike them down with lightning. But if he wanted to, they're goners, right? But God chooses not to display his sovereignty at all times. Think about this. What if God would display his sovereignty every time it is challenged? What about every time that some men said, well, if God was really God, he could strike me down with lightning right now. They'd find out, wouldn't they? As a matter of fact, there was a professional football player this week that says, I want to be the anti-Tim Tebow. I don't believe there is a God. What if God chose at that moment to show him that he is God? Oh, and by the way, this guy just happened to lose part of his season because he had a groin injury this week, so he's going to have surgery, and he's going to be out for a while. But what if God proved to him at this moment that God is sovereign? He'd wipe the guy out, wouldn't he? And he could, but God chooses not to do so. How many people would be goners if God chose to prove that he was sovereign? What if God always squashed rebellion? What if every time someone said, well, God's not going to rule over me. I'm going to do what I want, when I want, and how I want. What if God says, okay, I'll show you who's in control? What if God would do that? Now, he could, but he chooses not to. See, the world would be a different place if God would choose to display the power or his power and control over man's rebellion. As a matter of fact, none of us would be here. If every time we displayed our rebellion against God, and the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and when we rebelled against the law of God, if God in His judgment meted out the punishment that our sin deserved, none of us would be here. But God chooses to act in grace and mercy and not to display His justice and judgment every time. And you and I both need to be thankful that God chooses to act in mercy and grace instead of justice and judgment. If God would do that, the world would be a different place. The world would be uninhabited by humans because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How would men respond with the power of sovereignty is the next thing I want to ask you. How would men respond if they had the power of sovereignty? Well, if they had all power to do what they want, when they want, how they want, and why they want, when someone questioned their sovereignty or their control or their power, what would they do? I'll show you, right? I'll show you who's in control. I'll show you who's got the power. And we would show how just how strong we are. We would show our sovereignty. We would show them, look, I'm the boss around here, right? Men who have no power sometimes try to do that now, right? I'll show you who's the boss. So if men had the power of sovereignty, we would display it differently. We would say, oh yeah, I'll show you. Men would walk around thumping their chest. Look at me. Look what I have done. Look at the kingdom that I have built. Sort of like Nebuchadnezzar. We see Daniel chapter number 4 is talking about a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar said, look at the kingdom that I have built. Look at me. That's the way men would be if we had sovereignty. Well, Nebuchadnezzar learned a lesson about sovereignty. And it's found in Daniel chapter number 4. And that's going to be our subject today. We're going to look at Nebuchadnezzar. We're going to look at his situation that he found himself in. And we're going to see the lessons that Nebuchadnezzar learned. And we're going to see if there's not some lessons that we need to learn also about the sovereignty of God. So we're going to turn to Daniel. We're already there in Daniel 4. And again, I read a long reading last week, which I normally don't do. I'm going to read a long reading this week. It's just the way that it is. Because you need to get the entire account of what happened with Nebuchadnezzar. So find your Bibles, turn to the book of Daniel chapter number 4, and we're going to see what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon. Daniel 4:1. Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show you, to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought towards me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed, and I saw and beheld a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said, thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for thy spirit, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew, was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reaches unto the heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, Hew down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Let me stop there and breathe. But anyway, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream. Daniel's going to interpret the dream. Nebuchadnezzar was ruler of the world at the time. The Babylonian Empire, okay, was in control of the world at this time. And Nebuchadnezzar was the king, okay? God told him, listen, you're going to lose your kingdom. Here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to go and live as the beasts of the field. I'm going to change your heart from a man's heart to a beast's heart. And you're going to live among the beasts for a period of 7 years. You're going to lose the kingdom. But at the end of that 7 years, I'm going to give the kingdom back to you. That's why the stump remained. Okay? But Daniel warns him, says, listen, if you will receive my counsel, and break off thy sins and thine iniquities by showing mercy. In other words, if you will repent of your sins, I won't perform this action. Okay, so here's the warning of God to Nebuchadnezzar. You repent, and I won't do this. So what do you think Nebuchadnezzar chose to do? Well, let's read. All of this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked into the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? What did Nebuchadnezzar do? He thumped on his chest. Look what I have done by my might and my power. Now, we all know this. Babylon was in power. Nebuchadnezzar was in power because God chose to put him in power. I think it's Proverbs 21:1. The hearts of the kings are in his hand, and he turneth them wheresoever he will. The Bible teaches us that all power, all civil power is of God. He sets them up and he takes them down according to his will. And even though the kings of this world don't realize it, they are in power because God placed them in power. Just like our president that's sitting in the White House today, he's there because God put him there. He's not there because he's some great politician. He's there because God placed him there. And if God wanted him out, he would remove him today. Every king of this world, they are there because God placed them there. Nebuchadnezzar didn't understand that. And he said, it's my might and my power that placed me here. He didn't give credit to God, did he? Just a little forewarning. If you ever begin to say, look what I've done, look what I've built, look at all these things that I have, you better be careful because God may take them away from you, because you, what you have and what you are, all of your power, all of your possessions, all of your wealth, all of your talents, everything that you have because God gave them to you. And if you begin thumping your chest saying, look who I am and look what I've done, you better be careful because God may do you like he did Nebuchadnezzar and take it all away. Anyway, that's another point, and I'm not chasing that rabbit, but that just, you know, popped in there. So what happened? Verse 31. While the word was in the king's mouth, you know, by the power of my might and for the honor of my majesty, while he was thumping his chest and making that statement, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he willeth. Another little short comment. The best thing for you to do would be to learn from the lesson of Nebuchadnezzar, that the Most High God is in control, and he gives what he will to whom he will when he wants to. And he's in control. And don't have to learn the lesson like Nebuchadnezzar did to have it all taken away from you in order to understand that God is the one that's in control. Believe God today. Trust him today. Recognize today that he is in control of your life, and give him the honor for what's taking place in your life today. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes. So for 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar lived like a beast out in the field. He lived in the wild. Who knows what happened? Did he go crazy? I don't know. God did it. God put that in him to teach him a lesson. And at the end of those 7 years, it says, and I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Nebuchadnezzar learned the lesson that God is sovereign. You know, how long does God's lessons last? This one lasted 7 years. You've been going through some heartaches and troubles for a couple of months, and you're, I don't know if I can take this anymore. Well, listen, if God's wanting you to learn a lesson, a couple of months is not that long. Nebuchadnezzar went through it for 7 years until he learned the lesson that God is sovereign and God is in control. And then he lifted his eyes to heaven, and he admitted the fact that God was in control. Right? Here's what he learned. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. So what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? Well, he decided to honor God. He came to the realization that God was in control of his life, that God was in control of his kingdom, and he decided that he would give honor to God. I've given you a little outline of Daniel 4, verses 1 through 27 is Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The dream fulfilled, verses 28 through 33, and then Nebuchadnezzar's understanding returns in verses 34 through 37. That's just a little outline. This is a time when God did display his sovereignty. by the way. He doesn't always display his sovereignty, but this is once that he chose to. It's best for us to learn the lessons from history so we don't repeat it. The best thing for us to learn is for us to learn that God is sovereign. And I want to learn this lesson from what Nebuchadnezzar experienced so I don't have to learn the same lesson. So I don't have to go through the same heartache, through the same pain, through the loss of all that I have and live out like a beast in the field for 7 years. I don't want to go through that. So I want to learn from the experience of Nebuchadnezzar, and so too should you. What did Nebuchadnezzar learn? And these are very quick lessons here. But what did Nebuchadnezzar learn? There may be more to this, but these are just some thoughts that I wrote down as I read through this. Well, first of all, he learned who the Most High God is. Notice he had his own God. Daniel's name was Belteshazzar after the name of his God. But he found out that his God was no God at all. He learned that the God of Daniel is the Most High God, and that is the Lord God Jehovah, the maker of heaven and the earth, the one who came in the form of man in the person of Jesus Christ, the I Am, that is the Most High God. He learned who he was. Do you know him? What do you know about God? How could you describe God for me? What attributes of his do you know? How well do you know God? Nebuchadnezzar learned him well. One of the best things for you to do is learn about the mercy of God and the love of God and the long-suffering of God and the patience of God and the infinity of God. Then we could go on and talking about all the attributes of God. How well do you know this God whom you say you love and this God whom you say you love, that you serve? How well do you know him? Hey, that's why you ought to be here. This is where you learn about him. That's why you ought to be in his word. This is where you learn about him. That's why you ought to pray. That's how you learn about him, who he really is. He learned who the Most High God is. He learned that the Most High God, his dominion is over the entire earth. The scriptures say the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There's a song that says, "This is my Father's world." This is God's creation. He created this world to bring honor and glory to him. He created you and gave you breath so that you would bring glory to him. And you are going to bring glory to him one of two ways. You're either going to bring glory to him through repentance and faith and believing on his son Jesus Christ, or you're going to bring glory to him when you bow your knees and proclaim him to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you're going to bring glory to his justice and judgment when you're cast in the lake of fire because you rebelled against him. One way or the other, you're going to bring glory to God. I would much rather bring glory to the grace and the mercy of God than to justice and the judgment of God. But every one of you who continue to rebel against God and rebel against his way, you're going to find out one day that he is your God and he is your Lord and his dominion is over and is in control of your life. Whether you like it or not, it's true. God is in control of your life. And the best thing for you to do would be submit to it. His dominion is over the entire earth. He also learned, as we read, the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing in his sight. They are powerless against the power of God, against the will of God, against what God is doing. When God decides to do something, he does it. And when God decides the time shall be no more, guess what? Time shall be no more. When God decides that the day of grace is over, the time when he continues to deal with you in grace and mercy and be long-suffering with you, there's coming a day when those days are over. And when God says that day is over, it's over. And your opportunity to repent and believe and be saved is going to be over. What God chooses to do, he's going to do. And men are powerless against him. Daniel also learned that God's will reigns. What God's will reigns. What God says happens. No matter what we feel about it, no matter what we think about it, God's will reigns. There are many people in this world today. There are many groups who are trying to say, well, I think you can still do this and be a Christian. And I don't think God's in control. There are other groups who say, and I don't think there is a God and all of those things. Listen, it's only because God is choosing to allow them to feel that way. But one day, God's will is going to reign and He's going to put down all rebellion. Every enemy shall be put under His feet. Daniel learned that man cannot resist God's will. Nebuchadnezzar learned. I think Daniel already knew. Man cannot resist God's will. Do you think that Nebuchadnezzar, oh, hey, you know what I want to do for the next 7 years? I want to grow my hair out like eagle's feathers, and I want my fingernails to grow out like claws, and I want to go out and run around like a beast in the earth for 7 years. That's what I want to do. Do you think that's what he wanted to do? No. He wanted to stay king in his palace and enjoy all the amenities of being a king. But God says for 7 years, you're going to live like a beast in the earth. So guess what? It didn't matter how Nebuchadnezzar felt. God's will happened. Listen, don't fight against God's will. It's going to happen. Submit to it. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? So man cannot question God's actions. Man cannot question God's actions. God's works are true. Nebuchadnezzar learned that. His judgments are true. And they that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Cut down the prideful. Those are the lessons that Nebuchadnezzar learned. And again, there's probably more. But we need to think about this. I mean, that's the truth. That's the sovereignty of God. I mean, that's a general overview of what Nebuchadnezzar learned. But what about you? We need to remember that all of these things that are in the Bible, they are to help you. They are to teach you. They are to instruct you. They are to help you. What should you learn from? Well, you should learn the same lessons that Nebuchadnezzar learned, and maybe a few more. You should learn that the God of the Bible is the Most High God. That should be no doubt in your mind. That God is God, and because He is God, I'm going to love Him, and I'm going to serve Him, and I'm going to follow Him. Right? You should learn that God's dominion is in control. I mean, that's simple. You see, when we think about God being the Most High God, and there is none else, right? All those other things that men like to form, they are the formation of men's minds to pacify their own ways. Like the God of Islam. That's the God that Muhammad formed in his own mind to pacify his own ways. The God of Oprah. The God who she says, well, you know, you choose your way and you choose, and I'll choose my way, and we're all going to get there. The heaven that they have formed in their own mind and their own past, that is it. They have formed their own thought of heaven, their own form of God, and their own thought about how to get there, but it's the formation of their own mind. It's not the God of the Bible. Because what's the God of the Bible say? The God of the Bible doesn't say there's many ways to get to heaven. The God of the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you need to learn that. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation given in any other, for there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name Jesus Christ. You need to learn there's only one way. There's not many ways. It doesn't matter what men say. It doesn't matter how men feel. It's what God says. And God says, only through the blood of Jesus Christ will you go to heaven and make it to heaven. What are you going to do? You going to follow some person's, some man's thoughts and ideas? And well, I feel this way and I think this way. Or are you going to follow the Word of God? There's even those who say, like Stephen Hawking, that there is no God. What are you going to do? You going to follow him? Yes, he's a very intelligent man in this world's thoughts and ideas, but he is not God. Again, God is not about proving His existence or His sovereignty today. This is the age of grace. There will come a day when He'll prove that He is God and that He is sovereign, but it's not today. So remember and learn, the God of the Bible is the Most High God. Remember that His dominion is in control. Remember that men are powerless against God's will. Now, listen. When I learned this lesson, this is one of the greatest thoughts that I ever learned. Lessons that I ever learned. Because people say, well, God's, if you are powerless against God's will, then God's just a mean old ogre who's saying, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do these other things. Oh, no. God loves the world. God loves His people. He works all things out to our good according to His good pleasure. Let me say this. My life has only been blessed since I learned the sovereignty of God. My life has only been blessed since I learned that God was in control. My life has only been blessed since I learned to submit myself to His way, because His ways are not my ways, and His ways are better than my ways. And when I quit following my own way and my own will and started following God's will and God's way, that's when the blessings of God came into my life. When I quit rebelling against Him and started following Him, that's when good things and the blessed things started happening in my life, and contentment came. Peace that passes all understanding. That's when those blessings come. So it's a good thing to follow the will of God. You cannot resist God's will, so why don't you just walk in it? It's a whole lot better to walk in the will of God than fight against it. Right? God's ways are above questioning. Why do you do this, God? Why do you let this happen, God? Listen. Quit questioning why did He do something, and understand that He did it because it's working according to His perfect will and it's going to be good in the long run. So quit questioning it and saying, Lord, what can I learn from it? And Lord, help me to be more submissive to You and understand exactly what You're doing to bring about Your good in my life. God's works are true and righteous. I need to learn that lesson, that whatsoever God does, it's good. And it's righteous. And it's true. And I need to believe that. I don't understand why God lets things happen. I don't understand why I do understand why tragedies happen. And they come because men sinned. In the Garden of Eden, Adam sinned against God. And because of that, this world was thrown into, the curse came upon this world, and man is able to express the rebellion. And the curse came upon this world, so tragedies are going to happen on this world. Think of all the tragedies that's happened just in the last few days. The typhoon over in China and Taiwan, and the floods over in Flat Gap, and that young lady who lost her life in a car accident, and the people that I learned that are good people that are coming underneath terrible sicknesses. That's all death happened because of sin. And so I understand that what's going on in this world and the evil and the wickedness and all that happens because man rebelled against God. In the beginning. And what God is doing ultimately is going to be true and righteous. God's judgments are true. God can humble the proud. He may not choose to humble you, but He can if He chooses to. And again, I challenge you to challenge God. Continue on challenging God in rebellion. Challenging you want to do what you want, when you want, and how you want. And challenging His authority over you. And one day you will pay the price. It may not be today, and it may not be tomorrow, and it may not be next month, or it may not be next year, and it may not even be in this lifetime. But you continue to rebel against God and challenge His authority over your life, and one day you'll pay the price. You will be humbled because you will bow on your knees and call Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even before you're cast into the lake of fire. Continue your rebellion. You'll find out that God can humble the proud. I have learned, you need to learn this, that God's sovereignty is for the good of His people. God caused Nebuchadnezzar to wander for 7 years in the wilderness as a beast. But ultimately was for that Nebuchadnezzar's good, was that for Nebuchadnezzar's good? The answer is yes. It was for Nebuchadnezzar's good. And he learned great lessons from it. So even though we face difficulties and hardships, when God is doing something, ultimately it's for our good. So you should submit to the sovereignty of God in salvation and surrender your will to His because He is sovereign. What's that mean? Have you ever repented of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? If you have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, since God is sovereign and His will is going to take place, and He said that Jesus is the only way, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you expect to go to heaven when you die, you will submit to the plan of God, which is to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and you repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You will submit to His plan of salvation, and you will surrender your will to His. Now, all of us need to learn a little bit of this, don't we? If God is sovereign, He's got a plan for my life, and He's in control of my life, and what I need to do is surrender my will to His will. He is sovereign. There is no doubt. But are you submitted? Are you surrendered to Him? Have you surrendered your life to Him? I can tell you this. When you do, you'll find the blessings of God. Quit trying to do things your own way. Quit trying to do things in your own power. Trust the Lord. Walk according to His word. Follow Him. Submit to His will. And I guarantee you'll find the blessings of life. These are lessons that we should learn. And I'm sure there's many more. But do you understand the sovereignty of God today? Have you submitted to His plan of salvation? Have you surrendered your life to His will? Listen, if you have not submitted to His plan of salvation, you need today to repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Some of you may be running from the will of God. You're wanting to express your independence from God. You really are challenging God's authority over you. Listen, before God chooses to show you like He chose Nebuchadnezzar that He was sovereign, you need to repent of your rebellion. Because God may choose to show you He's sovereign today. So if you are in rebellion and running away from God, you've been with God before, you've been with the church before, but you're running and rebelling against Him, if that's you today, you need to repent of that. Because God might show you today that He is in control. Or if you're saved and you're doing your best to follow after Him, but you've not surrendered to His will, today surrender your will to His, and I guarantee you in the long run, you'll be so much better off. You'll find the blessings of God. You'll find the peace that passes all understanding. You'll find contentment. And you will find true joy. You won't find makeup joy. You won't find joy that's off for show. You'll find true joy that's in your heart and a lasting joy if you will surrender your will to Him. I don't know how the Holy Spirit might be leading into your heart, but we surrender this message to Him and the leadership of His Holy Spirit. And we pray the Holy Spirit has worked in your heart today. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time we have to be together and to learn from Your Word. And we thank You that Your Holy Spirit is teaching us and Your Holy Spirit is dealing with our hearts. And God, if there's places in our lives today where we need to surrender to Your sovereignty, I just pray, dear Heavenly Father, that You'll deal with our hearts and help us to submit to You. And Lord, if there's one here that's lost, that have never repented of their sins, we pray that You'll draw them to Yourself. God, that one that's running from You, we pray that You will help them to repent and come back to You. Lord, just help us all to surrender, to walk faithfully with You. Just thank You today for the truth. It is in Your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.